know that the hour is late, but I do want us to spend a little bit of time this morning in God's Word. Let's pray together before we open His Word. Father, thank You for our time this morning. Thank You, Lord, for all that we've seen and heard. And God, help us now as we think about Your Word to us. And God, we pray that You'd give us clarity and insight into it. We pray these things in Your name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I do want to encourage you to turn with me to Psalm 78. As far as children's church goes, I'm not sure if did our children's church workers go back? Okay. So kids, if you do want to go to children's church, I guess you can be dismissed at this time. Psalm chapter 78, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in there for just a few moments together. Words will be on the screen for us. We're going to look at the first 8 verses. This is a long psalm, actually the second longest psalm in the book of Psalms, but we really don't have time to look at 8 verses today, but certainly not 72. But we'll do our best this morning to kind of get the main message here from the introduction to Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. If we take a step back and think about broadly what this passage is about, I think we would conclude that the big idea here is the importance of passing along from one generation to the next knowledge of God, right? And God's word and God's ways and just who God is, the importance of one generation passing that on to the next generation. And what's important for our purposes today is that in this psalm and in the other places in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, the prime location, the prime responsibility for doing this is the family. Right, that may be kind of a new thought for some of us today, that the Bible places the primary emphasis upon passing along knowledge of God and His Word and His ways squarely on the shoulders of the family. And to drill down even a little further than that, the main emphasis is on fathers. Right, and that's oftentimes backwards in how many of our homes work. Typically, the mother in the family is more apt to communicate spiritual truths and teach the Bible and teach about God. But the main emphasis in Psalm 78, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is on the family and on the fathers. Right, which again is contrary to what we often think. Oftentimes, we believe it's the church's responsibility. Right, the main responsibility for teaching our kids about God is we say it's not me, it's not my spouse, it's the church. That's what we pay the staff members to do. Right, so we pay the pastor and pay the other ministers to do. We bring our kids to youth so that the youth pastor can teach our kids. We bring our children to Sunday school so the Sunday school teachers can teach our kids. But that's not what the Word of God says. Right, the Word of God says that the primary person in the life of a child who is to be, is for that person to receive instruction about God and His ways and His Word is with us, dads, right? What a big responsibility that is. It's a humbling thing to consider. None of us really feel adequate to do that, right? I don't. That the primary person that God has placed in the life of my kids to learn about Him, to get to know Him and Jesus, to learn how to follow Him and to love Him and serve Him is me, right? And to all the fathers here today, I want to challenge you. It's you, right? You are the person that God has created and designed and put in the life of your child, so that your child can know who God is. Look at verses 2 and 3 real quick. That is, and here the Asaph, the author, says that his father and the fathers of those he is writing to told them about things from of old, told them about things from the ancient times. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. Church, even if our biological fathers was not the one who was the primary teacher and instructor in our lives about God, aren't we glad that somebody did speak up? Right? We can all of us here today can point to somebody in our lives that Mickey alluded to earlier. Somebody in our lives spoke up and shared with us about God. It could have been our father. It could have been our mother. It could have been a pastor or a Sunday school teacher. It could have be any number of people. But aren't we glad that someone cared enough about us to speak the word of God into our lives? I'm so thankful this morning that I was blessed with that both of my parents taught me about God. My grandparents did, my pastor growing up, my faithful Sunday school teachers, vacation Bible school volunteers, church counselors at church camp, seminary professors. So many different people have poured their lives into me to teach me and to instruct me about God. Think about whoever the person in your own life who has had the most profound impact on your spiritual life. The same way you feel about that person, somebody could feel that way towards you. Right? And for the fathers here today, that person for our children needs to be us. Right? I can't think of a greater compliment than to one day hear my child say, and I don't know if they would say this or not, but to hear my child tell somebody, you know what, I learned the most I know, everything I knew about God, or not everything, but so much of what I know about God and how to follow Him and serve Him, I learned from my dad. Right, fathers, if that doesn't motivate you and if you don't find that compelling, then there's something wrong. Right? That's what we want to hear our children say. Can there be a greater compliment as a parent for our children to say that, you know, most of what I learned about God was from you? Look at what Asaph writes in verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation of the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might, and the wonders that he has done. So Asaph here declares in so many words, it's not going to stop with us, right? We're not going to hide these things from the next generation. We are going to teach and instruct these things about God to the next generation. What are we supposed to be teaching, fathers? Well, according to verse 4, we find the answer. We're supposed to tell our kids and others about the glorious deeds of the Lord, verse 4 says. We're to be telling our kids about his might. Right, the strength and the power of God. We're to be telling our children about the wonders that he has done. We're supposed to tell the next generation all that God has done for us and all about his faithfulness and his love. That's what we're supposed to be teaching our children. That's what we're supposed to be modeling to our children. All that God is and all that God has done for us and others, we are supposed to instruct our children in this way. Look at the next two verses. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. Here Asaph is walking us through very quickly Genesis and Exodus, right? The testimony in Jacob, that's a summary of Genesis, and appointed a law in Israel, that's a summary of Exodus. He's walking us through all that God had been doing up to this time, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. So it's all about one generation passing along to the next generation all that God is doing, all that God has said. This is what we are to do. Do we find support for this in other places in the Bible? We do. We find it in Psalm 78, the most important passage in the Bible about the duty that fathers have in the lives of their children for communicating God's word and God's truth to them is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I know we don't have much time, but this is an important passage I want us to look at for just a moment today. Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, turn there real quickly. I want you to see this in your Bible. Mark this up, fathers, if you have your Bible in front of you. I want us to see this, starting in verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do to them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God. And this is how we know he's talking to fathers here. Listen to what he says. He says, you and your son and your son's son. I think by implication, we know he's talking to the males here, right? To the fathers. By keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Then in coming, we arrive at verse 4. Here's really the most well-known part of this passage, but we had to kind of get a little context here to understand that Moses is speaking to the men. Right, he's speaking to the fathers. Listen to what he says. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Listen to what he says in verse 7. He says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate." So, fathers, it's clear here, right? Moses is so clear here that we have been given the primary responsibility to be the chief instructors in the lives of our children when it comes to God and His ways and His Word, right? I don't think we can get around it. We go to the New Testament, we can find other examples in the New Testament where Paul and other people say the exact same thing. So the point is this: we're to always be speaking about the Lord to our children and our family. Not only speak to our children, but perhaps even more importantly is to model it. Right, this expression that more is caught than taught, I think that's very important when it comes to this, right? Because our children can hear us say any number of things. My kids can sit one day, they'll sit out here in the sanctuary and hear their dad preach and preach and preach, but if his life does not reflect what he preaches, what message will they hear more? Will they hear my words, or will they hear what my life says? Right, that's a humbling thing for me to think about as a pastor. But I think the same is true for all of us dads, right? All of us fathers, our actions, our lives have to match up to what we claim to believe. And when we blow it, and we will, right? When we blow it, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to give up, throw in the towel? No, we acknowledge our sin to our kids, right? We confess our sin and say, you know, Adeline, Nora, Jack, I blew it, right? Will you forgive me? I didn't live the way that I claimed to live. That's what we do. That's how we handle disappointment and sin in our lives. What else are we supposed to teach our kids? Real quickly, Psalm 78, verse 7. So that they, and this is the next generation, the kids, right? Your kids. So that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. What a profound thing we have to teach our kids, dads. Right, we're supposed to be teaching our children, modeling for them, and teaching to them to set their hope on God. Right, what are we teaching our kids? What do our children see us putting our hope in? Right, is it in the stock market? Is it in our bank account? Is it getting a promotion at work? Is it the affirmation of our peers? Is it the golf course? What are we setting our hope in? What are we setting our hope on? And what does this say to our children? May we be men who set our hope on and in God, and may we teach our children to do the very same thing. What happens if we don't? Right? Look at verse 8. What happens if we don't faithfully follow the Lord and teach our children to do the same? The same may be said of us that is said about this generation in verse 8. And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. What I take from that passage, fathers, if I can speak to you directly now, is the importance of what's going on in our heart. Right? Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart, because all that we do flows from it." Right? Men, fathers, what's the condition of our hearts this morning? Right? What's the condition of our hearts? Are we teaching our kids all that we need to be doing, or are we not? Right? And if we're not, it could be that our hearts are not where they need to be. So we may need to repent. It could be that we need to repent and turn from our ways and chart out a different course. It's never too late. If your kids are at home, fathers, it's never too late to start. Right? May today be the day, fathers and men, that we begin to teach and instruct and lead our wives and our children in the way that God desires for us to lead. Let's pray. God, thank you for this passage. It's a humbling passage for me, Lord, as I think about how short I often fall with my wife and with my kids. And Lord, help me to be a better father. Help me to be more diligent about not only teaching, but modeling what it looks like to know you, to love you, to follow your son Jesus. Help me, help the other men who are fathers here today to do the same, especially, Lord, those who have children still at home. We have such a short time frame to speak into the lives of our kids that, Lord, we often get so caught up in doing other things that what's most important gets neglected. God, I pray that we as a church would be full of men and fathers who are serious about doing this. And God, we need your help. We confess many of us fall short. I do. Father, help us to acknowledge that today. Help us to turn from that if we need to. And Father, help us to begin to do what your word has asked us to do. And Father, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.